technology enables relationships. I think it makes it easier for us to communicate and efficient, like we were talking about. But really, the relationship's what builds trust, and the trust is what's going to grow the business. Do not discount the people factor. People answer phones. People know the businesses. People talk to the businesses. They know the employees. And people care about the success of those clients.
Welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Elizabeth Holtrup, and today I am very pleased to be joined by CJ Tate. CJ, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm going to start with a really brief professional bio, and then we are going to get into the meat of our episode. So CJ Tate is the Senior Credit Officer for First People's Bank in Tennessee, currently serves as Chairman-Elect of the Tennessee Bankers Association Young Bankers Division. His work includes credit administration, risk management, lending strategy, and organizational development. A passionate supporter of community banking. I love hearing that. We are here too. CJ enjoys connecting with bankers from across the industry, sharing ideas, and learning from the experience of others. He is particularly interested in leadership development, industry advocacy, and helping community banks navigate the opportunities and challenges ahead. CJ, I am so glad that you have joined us today, and thank you for being on the podcast.
One thing
we like to start out with before we get into anything specifics is, can you just tell us a bit about your background, how you got started in banking, and kind of what led to your current work?
Yeah, so my background in banking would be I started as a teller and then moved up. Managed some branches, opened a few branches for my first bank that I worked with, and worked into lending, did lending for a little while, and then had the opportunity through the networking connections I had made to get a job opportunity to be a credit officer at a bank that I'm currently at, and just kind of grew from there. Before banking, I was actually a performer in a dinner theater in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
I love that for four years.
So yeah, I think that having that prior experience in some customer service, hospitality industry, really drives my focus on relationships and community banking.
I love hearing that. And honestly, even though your story is unique, it seems similar to a lot of us who kind of fell into community banking and discovered how much we love it. Folks like me where, you know, I've got a history major from college and graduated and thought, what the heck do I do with a history major? And I am so grateful I landed in banking. Don't know if that's similar to you or not. Theater, history, you know, not quite a banking background. And yet here we are and just really enjoying what we do to support community banks. So thank you for sharing some of that background. To get into the meat and potatoes of what we're thinking about talking about, one of the topics we want to talk about is treasury management as a relationship strategy. And this is a phrase you used when we were talking previously, and it really, really struck me because I love that concept of building the relationships, even when you're talking about things like treasury management. So something you really zero in on is how treasury management can be leveraged more strategically within community banks. So can you tell us more about your approach to this? Why do you use that phrase? How does that work for you?
Yeah, so I think community banks, you know, the standard banking model for community banks, the tried and true method has always been, you know, bring in deposits, make loans, collect the margin, and there we go. And
hey,
so
it's a simple formula.
Hey, it's a simple formula. Yeah, and it's kind of evolved over time where start offering more products. You have more, like, I know some banks have wealth management services. Your bigger banks, they offer a wide variety of products. And I think the larger banks do a very, very good job in their treasury management, cash management, whatever you want to call it, kind of sector of getting their clients in there. And I think that's something that, you know, some smaller community banks, smaller to mid-size, we really haven't focused on because we've just been so focused on, you know, this is what works. It works in our community. But, you know, our communities adapt just like the world around us adapts. So with technology growing, you know, small businesses are able to utilize technology more, whereas some of that technology might have before been a thought of, well, only a corporation, like a big corporation can have it or something like that. But now it's like, oh, okay, I can have it as a small business. So in that, we as bankers kind of have to meet our clients where they're at. And I think that's important to, especially in the treasury management discussions, meet your clients where they're at.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me, especially working within a community bank. Sometimes community banks are working from a smaller pool of folks within the market area. That does mean sometimes there are already kind of extended relationships. I know I have worked with banks that are very, very small. They're Main Street in small towns. And, you know, the bankers are rubbing shoulders with their customers at the grocery store, at the community events, anything like that. And that gives a new meaning to the concept of relationship when you do have that community connection to build on. One thing I want to segue a little bit into from there is to talk about your concept of ownership of the treasury management relationship. So how do you work within your bank and get your bankers to feel that ownership, not just that they're relationship banking, and we all know that term, book of business, all that good stuff. How do they really dig in and have ownership of those relationships?
Yes, it's a great question. So we, you know, CEO and I last year really kind of thought about what's some things that we can offer, what can we, you know, maybe... how can we ramp up that portion of the of our business? And one thing that we really found was that, you know, from a treasury management side, it's banking in general, community banking, what we do is all about relationships.
Yes.
It is all about the person. So we really had to start with, we need the right person, right person, right seat. We say that a lot here.
Okay.
Our CEO came up with some core values several years ago, and that's one of them, and I love it. Okay. So we had to go out and kind of seek someone, and it really worked out for us because they actually were looking to kind of make a move and go into a smaller community bank role. And, so we kind of met each other at the right time.
Nice.
And so finding that core person really helped us get it. And then, you know, so you've got the person, then you got to make sure you got the products. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And I hate to say products. I like to think of them solutions. I say that a lot to our
nice.
People.
Nice. Solutions instead of products. We can go with that.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's what we're doing, right? We're just listening, finding out what our clients' problems are, what is their pain points, where do they want to be, what's their goals, aspirations. And then we have to have the right product set to then provide solutions to them to meet those goals, you know, take care of those pain points, fix problems. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of twofold. You know, we had to work on our product structure, get our person aligned. And then really it was more, once we had that person, there was integrating them into the bank to a way where they could work with lenders and our branch operations people and find the right fit for them. And then them having that product knowledge really helped. I think one of the things that banks try to do a lot is they try and make the lender or the branch operations person be a product expert across the board. And that's very difficult to do in banking because there's so many options.
Yeah.
So we really tried to focus in on that. And I think it's worked really well for us.
So it sounds to me like at your bank, y'all have an individual who's taking ownership of the whole process of this relationship management for the treasury management. But it sounds like this person is working very closely with other staff, lenders, deposits, all that good stuff. And the way I'm hearing it, it sounds like maybe this is a step above a lot of banks where they kind of have a, you know, internal referral program. There's a form where the lender, you know, maybe fills out a form and emails it over to the wealth management officer or whatever. Can you talk to me a little bit about how that works, how that informational flow works between your staff to make sure that, you know, maybe when there is an identified problem that the bank could help provide a solution, how does that communication flow between the relevant staff?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and if I wish I had the answer to perfect communication, I'd go home, right? that's the challenge, I think, and really we're lucky just because of our size. Our institutional size is small. You know, we have 43 employees, or about $225 million bank, so it works really well for us, that structure. You know, really, it was It was introducing that person, and we called him a concierge banker because we wanted to kind of have that white glove service, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was you know, my portion with the lenders and informing them that we have this person, getting them in there to meet them and say, you know, really what we'd like it to be is, because the lender relationship with their clients, you know, a lot of it is ongoing, but once the loan documents are signed or advances or things like that, there's not a lot of communication. You know, there might be some, you're going to have a lot of, you know, if you have a good lender, you're going to have a lot of follow-up and all that. But we really wanted to say, hey, you know, have our lenders, when they're talking, just, you know, going to golf, going to eat, going, doing whatever, saying what's going on with your business, where y'all at? And if they say, well, you know, we're having a really big problem with our payroll, you know, or something, it's any kind of thing that comes along, they literally only have to say, hey, we've got a guy that could probably help you with that, or we've got a girl that could work with you on that. Yeah. Let me get you in touch with them. You know, so you don't have to be the product expert and maybe say something that maybe have changed or, you know, can constantly keep up with that. It's like, we're going to hand you off to this person, and this person knows how to get them through that finish line. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah. But you really want to be able to have that person hand them off and still, they're still maintain that relationship. But that person's really the operational guide that they need, because, you know, the lending portion of it's going to finance the business, it's going to help them one aspect, but the day-to-day operations is what's going to run the business. And if there's kinks in their chain or something's going wrong in that, that's really going to hurt them. So they need someone that they can go to that, from an operational standpoint, that can help them, you know, right then, knows what they need.
I appreciate this. This is really helpful because it's driving back to the point you originally made, which is that it sounds like your bank is really focused on finding out what are the problems and how can we provide solutions, I do know a lot of banks try to take that approach, but it sounds like y'all have really zeroed in laser focus. And I love hearing that. There's probably going to be an issue sometimes when a bank wants to develop a product and then hope there's a need for it. That's going to be opposite. Yes. So thinking about solutions to what your staff, what your folks are hearing are the problems. That's beautiful. That's a way to keep a community bank as part of the heartbeat of a community. And I love that.
And going back, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. Going back to what you said, we have had that. We've had one single client that's come to us with a product. And when we kind of ran it, I think a lot of it is, I would rather my clients say, these are all the things that's wrong. Tell me what you can help me with.
Yeah.
And if I can fix two of the 10, I've at least done something. And that builds that relationship with the bank. You know, we talk about sticky products, you know, and getting the client more a hold in the client with the institution and the relationship, building that relationship. So, you know, two extra things that we can take off their plate, we help them, and we also get them more ingrained in our bank from a business standpoint. It's great. Yeah. But we've had that actually happen where we had a product the client really wanted, and unfortunately when we ran it, it was like, it's not fiscally responsible for us to go out and get something and pay a large fee for one client. And we were very upfront and honest with that client about it. Now, if that, I would challenge bankers to look at a total relationship. And I know there's a lot of banks that are working more and doing that. But you know, if we have a large, you know, loan relationship and they need a product or something like that, and you can offset fees. We've looked into things like that. Sure. You know, if courier services, I know those can be expensive, like, you know, cash courier services. But if you think about the business that's doing really well, and you know, they can't really have somebody run to the bank and do deposits every day, that's hard on them. You know, that the staffing's an issue.
Yeah.
If you can offer a courier service to them.
Yep.
And then see what your total relationship is to keep them. That's one other thing that any other bank that comes along is going to say, hey, we'd love to have your business. And they're going to say, well, are you going to come have somebody come pick up my deposits for me? Yep. Because I can't go yep. back to what I was doing. Yeah. I mean, that you got them, you know, I'm got them. That sounds bad. But,
yeah. Well, you've helped solidify that relationship where they have identified a need. You have a solution or, you know, a product that is a solution. Going back to your concept of a sticky relationship, can you tell me how the bank you're working for and how you implement that concept of a sticky relationship where someone stays with the bank long term? Obviously, we want our customers to be happy and stay with the bank for life.
Yeah.
How does that work in the real world?
Well, so I think a lot of it is again, you have to have someone that dives into those products that knows them really well mm-hmm. and can provide the solutions and at the right time.
Yep.
And a lot of that's just listening to the client. I mean, they've got issues that are, you know, I tell some of our tellers here, you know, listen to your clients when they're at your window, just talking like, yep. you know, oh man, today was rough because, you know, this didn't come on time or you know, something's happening yeah. or, you know, again, payroll. I think payroll is a really good yes. kind yeah. of thing or, you know, and then if that's the case, then, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we have a relationship with yeah. ADP, you know, some sort of payroll yeah. kind yeah. of company. And we could say, hey, we could help you with that. And it might, you know, it's just like sales, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. 10 opportunities and you get 3 of them. You know, you might be down on it yourself, but if I had somebody with a 300 batting average, I'd keep them on my team, right?
Yes.
So I think a lot of it's that it's mm-hmm. it's in the real world, you're going to miss out on some of those opportunities just because it doesn't align with you know, the bank's yeah. current status. But there yeah. are so many, you know, third party. Mm-hmm. There's crazy kind of product providers out there yeah. for financial institutions that if you have a client, it's a really good client of yours and they have a need. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, you know, don't promise. I try and tend not to promise, you know, I'd rather, you know, under promise over perform,
yes. but,
you know, just say, hey, let me look into that for you and then go out there and look for it. And if it mm-hmm. makes sense, then, you know, mm-hmm. I would look harder, look into yeah. it, you know,
yeah.
Cause there are so many mm-hmm. third-party mm-hmm. kind of, you know, add-ons there, products, whatever you want to call them, that you can integrate with or get yeah. in your product portfolio that would really help.
Does your bank have some kind of committee or review process or criteria by which suggested solutions or products are analyzed? I mean, there's got to be some kind of decision-making. And if it's really done on a need-driven basis, I can imagine sometimes it may feel subjective. Like, are we implementing this? Are we implementing that? What is the process your bank has found works well for, you know, evaluating a new solution and figuring out whether it's worth bringing on board for customers?
So the number one evaluation tool that I tell people, and this is just me, you know, it tends to go through the departments, but luckily, our management team here is pretty cohesive. We have a good understanding of what each of us would expect. Mm-hmm. But number one key for me is, and I've told vendors this, you know, we strive to offer exceptional service to our clients, mm-hmm. and I do not want to lessen those standards with a third party provider.
Sure.
So I have a lot of high expectations for those yep. Individuals that I bring on. And when I talk with them, you know, especially if they're going to be like, I don't care if you make my life a little harder, you know, so if it's something that like I have to enter in something or it's a couple times, but if sure. it's something where the client, if I recommend you to the client mm-hmm. and you're going to be a provider of a solution for us. If I recommend you, I have to know that if you're speaking with a client or anything you're interacting with our clients that we're putting our name behind, you're offering that mm-hmm. same exceptional service. Sure. You know, sure. unabashed, like no questions asked. It has mm-hmm. to be similar. And I do references. You know, I need references of current clients that you have, they're using it, and I'll try, you know, I'll call around. If I know people, some of those banks, I'll call them and ask them directly. So we really kind of try and vet those, you know, what is the end user, being the client, going to experience by having this? And, you know, I don't want, if they're already having a problem and we're trying to give them a solution, I don't want to create more problems for them with the solution I suggest, right? That's so fair. And then yep. And then obviously we have all the standard due diligence that it has to go through with our third party vendor management team, just to make sure everything, you know, that's pretty standard across the board. So and then we have weekly our exec team, we have weekly meetings. Okay. And we're very, we communicate very well. So, you know, if I have something that I think would be a great product, I'll bring it up to the team, send kind of a write up on it beforehand. They'll read over it, and then we'll kind of just discuss it. And it might take us a couple of weeks to go back and forth on it, but it gets brought up, you know. So again, that is the gift I have being at a smaller institution where we can, you know, just see each other, call each other on the cell phone. But, you know, even as you get bigger, I would challenge, you know, some bigger institutions to be able to communicate in that way. Because we can communicate so easily now with the world.
I love that. Yeah. And what I'm hearing is a robust emphasis on communication, because I'm hearing that staff are, you know, really trained to not just talk, but listen to what their customers are saying, pass that on to other staff. So we're communicating with our customers, we're communicating internally, then it's being passed up to a management team, then it's being discussed robustly. Clearly there's communication when you're doing vendor management and due diligence on that side. I'm just hearing such a skill there, or emphasis. And it is striking me that some people think of communication as like a soft skill. And I kind of always push against that term, because I don't love it when people say soft skill, like maybe it's to be downplayed, because to me, this sounds like it's maybe the heart of how your bank has been robustly growing this aspect of business. Is that kind of fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I think anything in life, when it's relationship, you know, be it two people or, you know, client or bank, and you know, communication's the key. I mean, that's and we talk about it all the time. I joke that, you know, on our annual surveys and things like that, there's always, you know, what? How would you rate communication? Yeah. And I'm like, well, nobody should give it a five, because there's no such thing as perfect communication. I mean, it just doesn't exist. Yeah, you should always. I always push us to strive to do communication better. And you know, that's on me too, to make sure my team direct report, you know, on the credit side all the way down, you know, they're informed of what's going on, try and make that a really big priority. And I think you have to make, institutional communication a huge priority, for everybody to be on the same page. And that shows, I think, to your clientele as well, when everybody is on that. So.
I love that. I would like to go briefly back to the staff you talked about, how you've talked about how you're calling this concierge banking. And obviously you said you brought in someone to kind of spearhead treasury management services. What are the skill sets or backgrounds that someone might be looking for to serve in that role well? Because it's not always just something that you might see on a job board or a job opening. So what would be someone banks might be looking for if they want to fill a similar role?
Oh man, I'm thinking of the gentleman that we have in that role. If I could clone him, it would be great. But man, it does take a certain person, and I would strive to, you know, I would tell people to strive that when you find that person, get them in there, get them, do whatever you can. That person has to be an excellent communicator and relationship builder. They have to be, they have to have very, very, very strong communication skills. I don't want to say salesman, but they do have to have that kind of just ability to talk to people and not be afraid. Like, our guy will literally go down a street and walk in every business, even if they don't bank with us, just talk and hang out. And so we just got very lucky, you know. But I know some banks, especially in Tennessee area, there's a bank that you know, they actually recently hired a retired teacher at a local school.
Cool. Very cool.
I guess you would consider him like a center of influence in that in that community. And they hired him as a relationship manager. And I thought that was really, and when I, you know, that was, I think last year. And after, you know, I've talked to that, some people at that bank since, and they say it's going great because he knows everybody, knows their kids, he knows the community really well. So I would say look for the community leaders, look for the people that are outgoing, want to go out and talk with people. Look for somebody that kind of understands business. You know, you have to understand how business works in order to help them. You know, so I think that's a key driver. And really, you know, we found this guy kind of through a chamber of commerce, you know, and just kept kind of being one of those center focal people involved in a lot of things, you know, on a lot of boards, wanted to be involved in the community. So that's kind of the person that you're going to want to look for. So I think that makes it.
Yeah, I do appreciate that because, like I said, it's not always a job description that you're going to see on a job board, but it sounds like it would be an integral role for some banks wanting to develop more of this focus within their bank. We are coming up at our time, and I feel like the time has flown because I have been so interested in how your bank is engaging with this and impacting your community in these ways. To close out the episode, we always like to ask our guests to share just one piece of advice, maybe something that's on your mind or a rule of thumb you live by. What is something you can leave us with a piece of advice for other bankers?
Oh, I would say to other bankers, really, you know, we're in a very technology heavy and driven environment right now. At the speed of light, almost, it feels like, changing every day. Hard to keep up with. It can be very, very overwhelming. I understand that. I think a lot of people in a lot of industries are experiencing that right now. But if I could say anything, it's that, you know, technology and all that, and it's kind of away from the treasury management side, I know. But, you know, technology enables relationships. I think it makes it easier for us to communicate and efficient, like we were talking about. But really, the relationship's what builds trust, and the trust is what's going to grow the business. So do not discount the people factor. You know, people answer phones, people know the businesses, people talk to the businesses, they know the employees, and people care about the success of those clients. So focus on the people. Focus on the people and let the technology help.
I love that. Focus on the people and let the technology help. I appreciate that from you. Thank you so much for joining us for these past 30 minutes or so. It's been absolutely a pleasure to hear about the impact your bank is making on your community and some of these innovative ideas that you're working with. Thank you again for sharing your time. This has been another episode of Banking Matters. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And this has been Elizabeth Holtrup with CJ Tate.